Our lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Let us listen to what God is telling us this Easter morning. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men asked them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. And now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. An empty tomb. The women left that morning with a task. They expected to find death here, but instead found an empty tomb. In some telling of this morning, it takes Mary three encounters with this empty tomb before she understands what has happened. The first time she encounters the emptiness with her eyes, she sees the cloths left behind, once tightly wrapped around a body. She thinks someone must have stolen the body. It's the only logical explanation for what her eyes are seeing. Someone must have wanted Jesus to be gone so badly that they would stoop to robbing a tomb of its occupant. The second time, Mary encounters the emptiness with her ears. Two angels meet her at the tomb entrance and tell her Jesus is risen. Her face must have given away her confusion because they try to remind her of the lessons Jesus taught about this day. While she remembers the words that Jesus had said, she cannot fully hear the conclusions the angels are guiding her towards. The third time, Mary encounters the emptiness with her heart. She is crying in a nearby garden, and a man comes to comfort her. He asks why she is crying, and she bears the grief of her soul to this stranger. When she's finished describing the emptiness that she has seen and heard, the man says her name, Mary. Her ears know that voice. She looks up, and her eyes know that face, and her heart relaxes because it knows Jesus. She suddenly realizes that empty didn't mean something bad had happened. In fact, it was the sign of something great God had done. Mary had a hard time understanding what was happening because emptiness had always been a bad thing. In her experience, empty jars meant no food to eat. Empty wells meant no water to drink. Empty pockets meant no money to buy what was needed. Emptiness was not something to rejoice over. So when she saw the empty tomb, she assumed the worst. What made the most immediate sense were that thieves, motivated by politics or religion, stole Jesus' body for their own gain. When she met angels telling her the truth, she still could not fathom how this empty tomb was good news. Except that's what it was. This emptiness is God's great news for the whole world. When Jesus arose that morning, he infused emptiness with possibility. Sins no longer left God's people empty. Forgiveness rushed into the void. The world was no longer empty of an active God. Instead, God was brought near to remain with us. Death no longer had the final say over an empty body. Souls were freed to join God in eternal life. Emptiness no longer meant the end. It held the possibility for a new beginning. While thinking about emptiness this week, I tried to think of where in our world emptiness was a good thing, hoping to find how that first Easter morning had inspired us to rethink emptiness. But I had a hard time thinking of something. The only empty thing that brought me immediate joy was my laundry hamper, because it means I don't have to do laundry for a while. But the reality that Mary and Jesus lived in is still very much our reality. Empty things are not awarded. Empty things are not generally good news. And we have all experienced an increase of emptiness these past few weeks. Empty shelves at grocery stores, empty schools, empty factories, empty churches. Emptiness has caused us a lot of distress. But there is hope even for these times in what happened on Easter morning when Mary went to a tomb and found it empty. That Easter morning redefined what empty can mean. I have heard people encouraging others to redefine how we think about sheltering in place. Instead of saying we are stuck at home, we can say we are safe at home. This redefining of the situation is what Easter morning did to emptiness. It takes an empty tomb and says, if Jesus is not here, it does not mean his body is stolen. It can mean he is risen and out in the world. Before Easter, the only logical explanation is devious theft. After Easter, it means Jesus is resurrected. We can apply this Easter redefinition to all the emptiness in our lives. Empty shelves don't always mean hoarding. They also mean neighbors taking care of neighbors. It also means that we are filling the shelves of food pantries. Empty classrooms can mean that teenagers aren't fighting their natural sleep patterns to get up for school at 6 a.m. in the morning. Empty classrooms can mean children learning to live with attention issues are not forced to be attentive for 7 hours a day. Empty factories mean that businesses were willing to value the health of their workers above potential profits. And empty churches? Wow. Empty churches mean the members are living more fully into their call to bless the world. The things that we have seen you all doing is truly astonishing. You have not stepped a foot in the church building in 3 weeks, but you have been the church in so many creative ways. Usually my job is to find volunteers and support for a mission project, but my job has been redefined to fielding calls and making connections for people who are looking for help, to help. It really has been mind-boggling. Emptiness after Easter holds so much possibility. My hope for the future of our currently empty church is that we take extra care when we refill the pews. We will need to think about what we go back to and choose some things to be left behind. In our opening, I mentioned some of the things that Jesus left behind in the tomb. Things like fear and shame, old ways, and old selves. Emptiness is also a sign that it was time to move on from something. That first Easter morning changed God's people and the whole world forever. It was scary, it was confusing, and it was frustrating. But they worked through that redefinition one step at a time, learning what to take with them, what needed to be left behind, and what possibilities had opened up. When it is safe to refill our pews on Sunday mornings, our church will need to do the same thing. It will be scary, it will be confusing, and it will be frustrating. There may be things that we have done that we realize can be left behind, but it will also reaffirm the practices we choose to keep as we relearn why traditions like worshiping together are so powerful. We will be re-energized by the innovations you have all made this week, and we will continue them into the future. The church hopefully will not be the only thing that currently stands empty that will be redefined. There is a lot of work to do when possibility is unleashed on the world. It may be hard to grasp now, because we are still somewhere between Good Friday and Easter morning when it comes to the coronavirus. But even that Easter morning is coming. And when that happens, we will set out with a task to get back to normal life. And we will find emptiness in many of the places of our former lives. In those moments, I want you to hear the angels asking, "Why are you looking for the dead among the living? Why are you focused on getting back to the past when the future has been thrown open?" We can choose to see emptiness, or we can see possibility. We can sit in the tomb, or we can leave behind the old ways and resurrect ourselves and our world into something new. Emptiness after Easter does not mean something terrible has happened. It means possibilities are alive. Jesus is alive, and so are we.